Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Channa Balabha Girivara Dari. Gopi Channa Balabha Girivara Dari. Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Vishnu Pad Padamamsa Padraja Kacharya Astro Telesita Shishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Vishnu Pad Padamamsa Padraja Kacharya Astro Telesita Shishimad Sringa Guru Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Anantikoti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsikoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Kijai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Kijai. Vrindavan Dham Kijai. Mayapur Dham Kijai. Navadvip Dham Kijai. Jagannath Puri Dham Kijai. New Dwarka Dham Kijai. Their Divine Lordship Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Kijai. Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Jagannath Baldev Shimate Supadra Kijai. Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Gornitai Kijai. Vrindavan Kijai. Tulsi Devi, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Jamunamaya Gangamaya Ki Jai, Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan Jaga Ki Jai, Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol, All Glories to the Assembled Devotees Hari Krishna, All Glories to the Assembled Devotees Hari Krishna, All Glories to the Assembled Devotees Hari Krishna, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Guranga Gauri Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the third canto, chapter 13, which is the appearance of Lord Varaha. And today's topic will be entitled Maya Maya. And we'll talk about that a little more here. later. So let's dive right into the verse. Nisamya te gar gar hitam swakida. Saishnu maya maya sukarasya. Janastapasatya nivasinaste. Tribi pavitrar muna yoginan sma. Nisamya te gar garitam swakida. Saishnu maya maya sukarasya. Janastapasatya nivasinaste. Tribi pavitrar muna yoginan sma. Nisamyate gargaritam swakeda. Saishnu maya maya sukarasya. Janastapa satya nivasinaste. Tribi pavitrar muna yoginan sma. Does anybody want to chant? Vaishnavis, Namaste. Taisha Maya Maya Sukarasya. Janastapa Satya Nivasinaste. Tribir Pavitra Muna Yoginan Sma. Anyone else want to chant with the right tune? Nishamya. Just after hearing, te, those, gargaritam, the tumultuous sound, swakida, personal lamentation, saishnu, destroying, Maya, Maya. All merciful. Sukarasya. The of Lord Bor. Jana. The Janaka planet. Janaloka planet, sorry. Tapa. The Tapaloka planet. Tapoloka planet. Satya. The Satyaloka planet. Nivasinaha. Residents. Te. All of them. Tribi. From the three Vedas. Pavitra. By the all auspicious mantras. Munaya. Great thinkers and sages. Agrinan Sma. Chanted. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the great sages and thinkers who are residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka heard the tumultuous voice of Lord Bor, which was the all-auspicious sound of the all-merciful Lord, they chanted auspicious chants from the three Vedas. Purport. The word Maya, Maya is very significant in this verse. Maya means mercy, specific knowledge, and also illusion. Therefore, Lord Bor is everything. He is merciful, he is all knowledge, and he is illusion also. The sound which he vibrated as the Bor incarnation was answered by the Vedic hymns of the great sages in the planets Janaloka, Tapoloka, and Satyaloka. The highest intellectuals and pious living entities live in those planets. And when they heard the extraordinary voice of the Bor, they could understand that the specific sound was vibrated by the Lord and no one else. Therefore, they replied by praying to the Lord with Vedic hymns. The earth planet was submerged in the mire, but on hearing the sound of the Lord, the inhabitants of the higher planets were all jubilant because they knew that the Lord was there to deliver the earth. Therefore, Brahma and all the sages, such as Bhrigu, Brahma's other sons, and learned Brahmanas were enlivened, and they concertedly joined in praising the Lord with the transcendental vibrations of the Vedic hymns. The most important is the Brihanardiya Purana verse. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai. Om Gyana Tamananda Shyaganjana Sakaya Chakshushan Maitamina Tasmai Sri Karenima. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitamina Bhutale Swamupukadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the verse again. When the great sages and thinkers who are residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka heard the tumultuous voice of Lord Bor, which was the all auspicious sound of the all merciful Lord, they chanted auspicious chants from the three Vedas. So let's get back to this one section here. It talks about Maya Maya. And there's another verse from the fifth canto. Actually, first in the sixth canto, there's a purport. And Srila Prabhupada says, the spiritual potency is also called Maya. It is said, Ato Maya Mayam Vishnum Pravadanti Manishinaha. The body accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Maya Maya. This does not mean that he is formed of the external energy. This Maya refers to his internal potency. Sorry, my throat gets dry. And then in the fifth canto, there's a verse on chapter 18, which is quoted, and it has this particular part of the verse. It says, Chando Mayayana Mayamrita Mayaya Sarva Mayaya. And it goes on. But anyway, it describes this Chanda Mayaya as the enjoyer of all ritualistic ceremonies. And then Anaya Maya Maya is who maintains all living entities by supplying the necessities of life. And then Amrita Maya Maya, who wards eternal life. And then Sarva Maya Maya, his all-pervading. So this is the Supreme Lord. And there's a nice prayer, the translation. And it talks about he's, you know, the Supreme Godhead, Hrishikesha, the controller of the senses, the origin of everything, the master of all our mental, bodily activities. He's the enjoyer of the results. He's the five sense objects, the 11 senses, the mind, all these things. It says he supplies everything. So it's just describing him as everything. It even goes in to say that he's the cause of our bodily and mental prowess, which is non-different than him. And he's the husband and provider of necessities for all living entities. So for that purpose, the Vedas, they glorify him, they worship him. So let us offer our respectful obeisances to him. So that way he'll be favorable toward us in our life. So it's always nice. So there's more, but there's one more thing I'd like to read here. So yeah, pretty much that's what I said. Okay, so let's go ahead to just give you a little overview of the chapter. So we're so fortunate to have Srimad Bhagavatam because it actually saves anyone who listens from repeated birth and death. And throughout the pastimes in the Bhagavatam, Krishna's repeatedly saving his devotees from calamities and dangers, you know, like Putana and things like that that came to harm him. So Vrahadeva appeared to save the earth from the depths of the Garbhodak ocean and save all the living entities in the universe by killing Hiranyaksha. So this is just the chapter 13 that we're on. And we're here in the pastimes of the Svetavraha. It's starting to describe that. And here, Brahma and the sages, they wondered. Lord Vraha roared, and the sages glorified him. So that's from 16 to 30. So actually, we're going to read about Vrahadeva from this chapter on all the way to chapter 19. So that's Vrahadeva. He's going to save us. So this whole section of the third canto is how Krishna saves us in so many different pastimes and activities. So it's described in this chapter that they're glorifying Lord Bor as the lifter of the earth, and it has all its mountains and everything. And it's like you've lifted with your tusks. You know, just like an elephant lifts with his trunk beautiful lotus flowers. So that's how they're describing him. And they're praising. So in the purport there to this particular verse, this is in the third canto. It says, the fortune of the earth planet is praised because of its being specifically sustained by the Lord. Its beauty is appreciated and compared to that of a lotus flower situated on the trunk of an elephant. So it's very beautiful. And then it describes in this particular chapter, there's a verse, the verse that says, then the Lord, playing like an elephant, suspended the earth on the edge of his curved white tusks. He assumed a bluish complexion like that of a tamal tree. And thus the sages headed by Brahma could understand him to be the supreme personality of Godhead and offer respectful obeisances to him. So in some places it describes his body as bluish and some as reddish in different millenniums when he appears. So Krishna, he can assume any form he likes. And in all circumstances, you know, he's the cause of all causes, as we read. And since his form is transcendental, he's always the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no matter what form he's in. Because he's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's in the causal ocean, you know, generating unlimited universes from the pores of his holes, you know, that are these hair holes. So this is he's a transcendental body no matter, and he's always glorified by the personified Vedas. So here again, the poet Jayadev, he actually sung a very nice prayer glorifying Lord Bor. Vasati dasana sikare daranitava lagna sasani kalka kaleva nimangna keshava drita sukara rupa jaya jagadisha hare. So all glories to Lord Keshava, Krishna, who appeared as the boar. The earth was held between his tusks, which appeared like the scars on the moon. So why did Lord Braha come? We kind of mentioned. Practically to reinstate peace in the world, to generate a spiritual renaissance, and create a way for the souls to reconnect to the spiritual reality. And he had his own reasons also. He wanted to experience joy, playfulness, as you could see, you know, and have a variety of loving exchanges with his devotees. So it describes in a purport here in the in this chapter, actually. Actually, this is a verse. If one hears and describes in devotional service attitude this auspicious narration of Lord Bor, which is worthy of description, the Lord who is within the heart of everyone is very pleased. So everyone is fond of hearing some wonderful activities, but they don't know about the transcendental qualities and superior quality of these Vedic scriptures. So by hearing them and reading them, that destroys all the pangs of material existence. And this is why it comes out of his causeless mercy, so that the devotees and everyone can benefit. So we're actually in this dirty mire ourselves, just like Lord Bor came to, you know, take the earth out of the mire of the Garbhodak ocean. So similarly, in our own ways, we've fallen into the gutter of material existence, and we need to be lifted up. And so we need the mercy of the Lord, you know, because it's very a difficult job to deliver someone from this material world. We're like in these clutches, material clutches. And Prabhupada mentions how there's so many demons now that are disturbing the delicate condition of the planet. They're actually sucking out the liquid gold, as they talk about. Like Hiranyaka, he tried to take all the gold and he got the planet Earth out of balance and it fell into the Garbhodak ocean. So in the same way, the demons today are, you know, taking the liquid gold from the earth in the form of oil. And people are thinking that at the rate of this extraction of oil, is there a chance that it can actually disturb the delicate balance that keeps the earth in orbit? You know, it's actually possible. It could happen, you know, at this rate. So we see, so there's so many cars, so many demand for oil nowadays. And Prabhupada actually mentioned that he said in 50 years, when he said this, he said within 50 years, which would make it about 2020 or 2023, he said that's when we will see that this peak oil will be finished. The oil would be finished. So just see now it's happening, how with this oil extraction and disturbing all the environmental things, and so many things are happening. The weather is happening like that. So this is what happens. So this is the mire. We're in such a mess. So much trouble and difficulty in this entanglement of the material world. And this is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada describes that mankind is to deliver mankind from the nescience of material existence. And we're in difficulty in so many ways. It's like a mire, like you see, it's so difficult. It's hard to, you know, to just really imagine how to get out of it. So just like Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, he was full of anxieties. And because of this material existence, he was also affected. So, and this is from the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, actually. And Prabhupada says, not only Arjuna, but every one of us is full of anxieties because of this material existence. Our very existence is in the atmosphere of non-existence. Actually, we're not meant to be threatened by non-existence. Our existence is eternal, but somehow or another, we're put into asat. So that means non-existent. So there's so many people suffering, but there's only a few who even realize that they're suffering, or to speak of trying to get out of the suffering. Yeah, so this is what's happening. So this is that mire of material existence is like the banyan tree that's described in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And this mire is in the form of all these different types of Vedic rituals and things that are described. Actually, in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada mentions about the Vedas, or in the verse, he talks about the Vedic literatures here, the chants from the three Vedas. And in the Bhagavad Gita, there's that verse, those who study the Vedas and drink the soma juice seeking heavenly planets worship me indirectly. Purified by sinful reactions, they take birth on the pious heavenly planets of Indra, where they enjoy godly delights. So this is that banyan tree, the different branches and different planetary systems, different fruitive activities. And then Prabhupada mentions in the purport there, describing the Vedas, he says the word tri-vidya refers to the three Vedas, the Sama, Yajur, and Rig. A Brahmana who has studied all these three Vedas is called a tri-vedi. So he's very much attached to that. But he says, unfortunately, those who are simply official students of the Vedas become more interested in offering sacrifices to the different demigods. And so they become contaminated by the lower qualities of nature. So these three Vedas actually, it's described that they're the oldest scriptures of, in Hindu culture, of course, they describe it as. And it's called, like we said, the Triveda. The Rig Veda is actually the oldest of the three. And it's a collection of hymns in praise of various deities. The Yajurveda, it contains prose and verse formulas that are used in Vedic rituals and ceremonies. And the Samaveda contains melodies, chants that are used in the same rituals. So this is what they considers the Vedas. So it's described in that same chapter of the Bhagavad Gita where I quoted this verse, 6:20. If you go to the next verse, it describes that when they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. So what's the result of this demigod worship? It describes in the next verse, but those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So actually, the result is that they achieve only repeated birth and death. But the process by which the devotees attain him is by this devotion. They only desire to perpetually worship him. And then in the next verse, it describes, those who are devotees of other gods and who worship them with faith actually worship me, O son of Kunti, but they do so in a wrong way. So one may ask, well, the worshippers are ultimately worshippers of Krishna, demigod worshippers, right? Because he says they're actually worshipping me, but in a wrong way. So do they receive the same results? Actually, not like the unalloyed devotees. It's like what they're doing is watering the leaves and the branches of that tree and neglecting to water the root. So this is what happens. So in the next verse of that same chapter describes, Krishna says, I'm the only enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Therefore, those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature, they fall down. So this is what happens, is that they fall down. But if we worship Krishna, then Krishna is kind. He'll accept our devotional service and he will help us. Like in verse 28, it says, in this way, you will be freed from bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me. So that's described there. So let's see, where were we? On the mire of material existence and the banyan tree, which is described there. So this banyan tree, is its source is actually from the spiritual world. But as you see, they're only by our desire to desire something separate from Krishna. This whole material mire has been created. So this is the spiritual world. One can get a conception like the tree. We had that banyan tree. So in the spiritual world, we know everything is conscious. Everything is light. You know, everything is conscious like that. So as we see the spiritual world, it's such vast. You know, there's so many things. It says the material world is only 1/4 of this God's creation. So like 3/4 of God's creation is in the spiritual world. And we're barely on one of these little planets in that little circle on the bottom left. Yeah, bottom right there. So this is the vastness of the spiritual creation. So Prabhupada actually studied these books, these transcendental literatures. And from them he heard, just like the sages, they heard that tumultuous roar of Lord Boar. So as Srila Prabhupada was reading these books, he also heard the tumultuous, all auspicious sound of the all-merciful Lord's voice. And Prabhupada said to someone one time, he said, yes, it's a revolution. That is what I think as I write on and on. Of revolution to change the entire course of human history. So Prabhupada had this vision, he realized. Just like why does Lord Boar come? As we mentioned, to reinstate the peace. So just as Lord Boar appeared, so in the same way, the Srimad Bhagavatam appeared. And who brought it? Prabhupada didn't come to America just by himself to come to visit America, but he brought the Srimad Bhagavatam with him. And he brought everything. He brought Krishna, all the incarnations he brought with him. So, yes. So these transcendental literatures are non-different than Lord Vraha. In fact, all the incarnations are in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada brought a revolution to change the entire course of human history. And so Prabhupada realized the spiritual potency of these shastras. And out of his causeless mercy and compassion, Krishna, he compiled these various Vedic literatures in his incarnation as Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva is a Shaktavesh avatar of Lord Krishna. And he very kindly presented these literatures to awaken the conditioned souls to his senses. So this Vedic literature is the most advanced theology in the world. There's so much depth, so much expansion of understanding how to expand the consciousness. And it reveals the intimate understanding of God in relationship with his devotees. So what it does is also creates auspiciousness for the world, and it's most accessible for everybody. There's a real nice verse in the Madhya Lila, 20:122. Maya mugda jivera nahi svata Krishna jana jivera kripaya kaila Krishna Veda Prana. And the translation is, the conditioned soul cannot revive his Krishna consciousness by his own effort. But out of causeless mercy, Lord Krishna compiled the Vedic literature and its supplements, the Puranas. So we're all, as conditioned souls, we're bewildered by Maya, Lord's illusory energy. But as we read, Maya also means mercy. So Krishna comes to give his mercy. But Maya in the mature world, his business is to keep the conditioned soul forgetful of our relationship with Krishna. So, and then we forget our own identity as spirit souls. And then we think we're a product of this mature world. So, there's another, actually in this purport from the Madhuri Lila, Prabhupada describes, I'll just read a couple of paragraphs from the purport. This is a description of Maya's action upon the conditioned soul. Thinking himself a product of the mature energy, the conditioned soul engages in the service of the mature energy in so many ways. He becomes the servant of lust, anger, greed, and envy. In this way, one totally becomes a servant of the illusory energy. And then Prabhupada ends the purport by saying, unfortunately, at the present moment, the conditioned souls are guided by the demons who do not care to read the Vedic literatures. Although there is an immense treasure house of knowledge, people are engaged in reading useless literature that will give them no information on how to get out of the clutches of Maya. The purpose of the Vedic literature is explained, you know, throughout the whole different literatures. So that's that verse, like in the first canto. On the other hand, that literature, which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, form, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So Prabhupada's saying that simply if the leading men of the world take up this Bhagavatam, then certainly there will be a change of heart and people in general will follow them. And then they would actually change the entire atmosphere of this world. So these transcendental literatures, Srila Prabhupada, as you mentioned, he understood that transcendental sound. And he wants to amplify that sound that's coming from the Shastras. Actually, Dhananjaya recalls, he said, you know, one time Srila Prabhupada, just out of the blue, he said, it's too late. It's too late. And what he was referring to, he said, the books are already out there. Even if our temples, all the temples are closed, and all the devotees left the movement, and everything shuts down, still, those books are out there. And one person will read the book, and he'll recreate everything again. It's amazing. So that's the power of this transcendental sound. So this is talking about amplifying the sound. You know, in 1972, was it the American BBT? They printed 1 million copies of the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, at that time, yeah. So yeah, it was a world record. Nobody's ever printed that many books. Can you imagine 1 million Bhagavad Gitas were printed? They said there was, the train bringing the paper was like 3 miles long, wasn't it? You know, filled with paper for the printing. So talk about amplifying the sound of the scriptures, and it's still going on. Devotees right in this room are still distributing these books, and we're all trying to help with that mission of Srila Prabhupada. So from today's purport, Srila Prabhupada said that the most important verse in the Brihat Naradiya Purana is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And it's like a whirlwind. It's a Hare Krishna revolution. And Prabhupada mentions, there's in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, the so-called yoga societies in big cities may be successful in earning material benefit, but they're not at all suitable for the actual practice of yoga. One who's not self-controlled and whose mind is not undisturbed cannot practice meditation. Therefore, in the Brihadaranyaka Purana, it is said that in Kali Yuga, when people are in general short-lived, slow in spiritualization, and always disturbed by various anxieties, the best means of spiritualization is the chanting of the holy name. So there's so many verses on chanting the holy name, like Harinama, Harinama, Harinamava, Kevalam, Kalonasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatirnita. That there's no other means, there's no other means, there's no other means, but chanting, chanting, chanting. So there's so many other verses described that you could go on and you can look them. Let's see if I put the reference for all these verses. Yeah, I think it's in the sixth canto. They quote so many scriptures about chanting the holy names of Krishna. So this is what we need to do. And there's a verse described Sankirtan. Yajna Sankirtana Prior Yajantihi Sumeda Saha. That according to Sri Jiva Goswami, the word Sankirtan Praya, which means many by the process of Sankirtan, indicate that although other processes such as deity worship may be performed to some extent in Kali Yuga, such processes, in order to be successful, must be favorably connected with the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. One who is performing worship of the Krishna deity should know that the most essential part of such deity worship is constant chanting of the holy names of the Lord. On the other hand, one who has perfectly chanted the holy name of the Lord need not depend on other processes. So there's all kinds of other quotes I had on the holy name, but we don't have time to read those. But anyway, I'll just end with this one quote from the end of this chapter, verse. Who? Who other than one who is not a human being can exist in this world and not be interested in the ultimate goal of life? Who can refuse the nectar of narrations about the personality of Godhead's activities, which by itself can deliver one from all material pangs? So there's a short purport there. Prabhupada says, the narration of the activities of the personality of Godhead is like a constant flow of nectar. No one can refuse to drink such nectar except one who is not a human being. Devotional service to the Lord is the highest goal of life for every human being. And such devotional service begins by hearing about the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. Only an animal or a man who is almost an animal in behavior can refuse to take interest in hearing the transcendental messages of the Lord. There are many books of stories and histories in the world, but except for the histories or narrations on the topics of the personality of Godhead, none are capable of diminishing the burden of material pangs. Therefore, one who is serious about eliminating material existence must chant and hear of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. Otherwise, one must be compared to the non-humans. So we're looking forward all the way to the next, to chapter 19 about the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead, which started with this chapter. So I'd like to end there and ask if there are any comments, questions, or realizations. The mic is going somewhere. Oh. Anybody have a comment, question? Okay, well, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that. I don't have the reference. I heard it from the lecture from Dhananjaya. I think. Oh, he said that? Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada evidently said it. Yeah.